You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show, it's AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Bing is for doing, and we're here doing another AfterBuzz TV after show for MTV's Teen Wolf, Season 3, Episode 6, Motel California. I'm your host, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. Sitting next to me, AfterBuzz TV host Sarah Stratton.
Hi, guys.
On the couch, we have Corey Trench. Finally back. He's actually been on the couch for a while, but he's just woken up to join us again for Episode 6.
Took the back
seat. Before I introduce anybody else, I just want to say that I loved Holland's performance last night, and I thought this episode was her standout performance, and that she's becoming the MVP of this season. Like, wouldn't it be really awesome?
I would definitely give her MVP of this episode.
It would be awesome if she were here to break down the performance, or the episode and her performance. Like, I really wish she could be here, right?
Make this happen.
Oh, wait. She is here from hit shows such as Lost, Weeds, CSI, and currently playing the lead role of Lydia Martin on MTV's Teen Wolf. Please welcome Holland Roden.
Have a Kristen Wiig moment.
Our next special guest this evening has written and produced shows such as Lost, 6 Feet Under, plays the role of the principal on MTV's Teen Wolf, and he wrote and directed tonight's episode of Teen Wolf. Please welcome Christian Taylor.
Yay. Yay. Hi, guys.
Awesome job. The thing I love about Teen Wolf is it's new. Every single episode could be a standalone, and it gets better and better. And this episode, again, was my favorite. Just fantastic job, both of you.
It's, I would say we have the two MVPs, you know?
Absolutely.
All the background, all the stuff that really made this episode.
Yeah. You're trending on Twitter, if you didn't know, Christian.
Right now?
I'm trending?
Yeah.
I don't even have Twitter.
I mean, I don't know if it's like...
I don't think I'm trending.
An official thing, but there are so many people hashtagging. It's all over the place.
That's so great.
They're just really, they love the directing.
I did Holland's show yesterday with her before the episode premiered, and then I watched Twitter as the episode showed of the first episode in New York on the East Coast feed, and it was so fascinating because I'd never seen all that stuff that happens. It's amazing. People get really, I love it. It was amazing.
People get really Twitter is like the platform for if you have an opinion and no one can say anything about it, so I'm just going to write
and hide behind your computer.
And they're like instant reactions, like, you know, what's that? It's great. It was great.
One thing we can take away from this episode is the importance of Yelp reviews. I mean, everyone normally checks Yelp, I feel like, before you schedule a trip anywhere, but there apparently wasn't time.
Unfortunately, on this one, I think the internet was out because of the storm, so the coach couldn't... They couldn't get cell phones.
Yeah,
so
there we go. Yeah, the Glen Capri, I'm not, it's going to get 0 out of 5 for me.
Yeah. It is actually, just in the Glen Capri's defense, it's actually a really nice motel in Glendale. So you could go and have a little, you know, sightseeing tour. And it is, we looked at like, I would say about 35 motels in Los Angeles and Long Beach and everything. Because it's very rare to find a motel that has that sort of iconic face. That could land, you know, the episode and give it the sort of, you know, image that we needed. So we found it.
The feeling I got from looking at that hotel, like, I knew I was going to be on the edge of my seat the entire episode. And it was like a psychological thriller. I really liked how we got in the minds of these traumatized werewolves and what they're going through mentally as the season progresses. I really did enjoy this episode.
And I mean, just for setting up the tone, I thought it was interesting that, again, this week we started kind of in a different place or a different time. So, like, last week we were in the future with flashbacks. And then this week we're taking a glimpse all the way at the past, which got reoccurring like arc to the end. And I just liked that initial setting of like the truck going down the desolate road. You don't see his face until like that last minute. And that for me, I was just like last week, I was like, it's going to be a horror episode. And it just kind of carried through the whole thing. Like people's fears being like claustrophobia, chainsaws, drowning, everything was kind of touched upon. And I
pretty much, if you're scared of anything, it was in last night's episode.
We had viewer discretion advised for the first time ever.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That was true. I feel like that's a badge of honor. I'm very, very proud
of that. You brought
that. I'm very proud of that. No, I mean, Jeff is amazing because he'll really make us in the writer's room. He really sort of pushes us to come up with creative ways of telling stories and everything. And last week was very specific because we wanted to sort of allude to Derek's death, and then we had to do it in the flashback way so that it would be a cheat on the audience. And then this one, I pitched the idea of doing a sort of haunted motel because I just thought that would be fun. And because often we're finding episodes that we can do within a sort of set location that would be easier to shoot, so that it would actually make creating this episode, because it's quite a complex episode in the sense of what we do, and because we had only two locations, we had the motel and then we had the soundstage, it was easier to do all that stuff and then really concentrate on performance and, you know, creating the sort of the horror moments that take a little bit of time in terms of camera angles and things like that. So
yeah, my favorite episodes are always ones that let the characters breathe for a second, and we get to have this sort of retrospective glance at ourselves and our friends and at the character beats. That's, you know, I mean, obviously being an actor, like those are my favorite episodes. And so this was obviously no exception. It was one of my favorites because everyone just has their little moment. Mm. And there's a lot of hidden messages, by the way, as well. I wish I could make a game show that I researched.
Yeah, we actually need to know about these hidden messages.
1246 is a section of the Bible, the book of Luke, and it's about being a non-believer, and those who are non-believers will be punished. Did you know this?
No, I did not know that.
Yes.
Wait, when is 1246?
And he's believing, did this really happen to me? And so it's the saying is, you know, the servant will come to your house and basically put a ban on you if you're a non-believer. And there was also 213. Do you know this?
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment.
No, I didn't know that.
Wow. That was the one Stiles and Scott were staying in.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
Get ready. It gets turned up.
Okay, good. Okay.
217.
I know this one.
Shining is the book, the room that it was in, The Shining, the book, the movie.
This was specifically placed.
Because
Jeff and I had a little bit of an argument over this because he wanted to use the number from the movie.
237.
And we got to the motel and I was like, there are not 237 rooms in this hotel. Like, can we just do 17 rooms on the second floor, please? There are not going to be 40 rooms.
That was the one in the book, though. You know, there was,
So that's why we went to 217.
And I guess they had such a big location for The Shining that they chose room 237 versus 217.
Exactly.
I actually had been to that hotel when I was 2 years old in Colorado Springs, or it's in Colorado.
Wow.
And I was, and it was right before it shut down.
Oh, wow.
From what my mother told me.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Kind of scary.
Any other hidden meanings?
We need some more.
Yes. These are going to be legendary.
1977?
Yeah.
Do you know this?
Yes.
I don't.
It's my birth. The year of my birth. No. It's Jeff Davis's.
Is it really?
It's Jeff Davis's.
Oh, he and Star Wars are meant to be together.
Yes.
And it's the year that Elvis was found not breathing on a bathroom floor. 1977.
Wow.
And March 5th. I read this one. That's March 5th is one of the biggest dates in, for whatever reason in history, that wars have significant ties to.
Oh my God.
And that was the day that Argent.
Did you do this all day?
I feel like we have Lydia.
I love it.
Instead of Holland.
This is going to go viral. This is going viral.
This is Lydia.
This is Lydia.
Yeah. You didn't know.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, 213. That's funny. That's like an interesting coincidence. I think. Yeah, that's all of them. But those are the.
I bet there's some more.
Let's see. And 201, as you guys, I mean, many viewers picked up on with the vending machine versus how many suicides there had been.
Yeah.
You know, when Boy Was the
That was
machine.
A directorial choice, by the
yes.
way.
Yes.
That was not
And
a
I liked
script.
With the TV.
Really?
with the TV with Isaac going up through the channels.
Yeah. So yeah, I love layered meetings. Oh, I'm a huge Lost fan, so there's obviously which he was on the first season of as well.
And you were both on Lost.
Well, it was the fourth season.
And I forgot that you were on it. I'd been fired. I'd been
fired.
Didn't
run into each other on the island.
No, I was fired in the first season, then she came in on the fourth.
Well,
okay, we have a caller on the line, I believe.
Oh,
caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Can we hear them?
We should be able
to. They made a noise.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
All right, I guess we'll try again.
Invisible man.
We will try again when they come back.
They're trying to haunt us.
So let's go ahead and talk about the Glen Capri and the suicide motel. So whenever Lydia sends that text message to Stiles saying, we need to talk, and then we transition to the Danny and Ethan scene, mm-hmm. I was hoping that this was her, like, hallucinating and deciding to give in to her deep, unspoken feelings for Stiles.
Manifesting myself as Danny and Ethan.
Oh, yes.
Like, I thought that was going to be Stiles and Lydia in bed.
See, there we tricked you.
Yeah, you did trick me.
We're not going to give you what you want.
I didn't think that was going to happen.
No.
I was hoping. I just, that's what I guess I want internally.
Well, it was all about the horror this episode. And we were like, romance,
no. I love that. Yeah, I love
focus on the horror.
I felt like there was a lot of romance.
There was lots of love.
Well, yes.
There was a lot of controversial romance with, you know, Jennifer and Derek, and that was very controversial.
That's the most mixed signal I've ever gotten from Teen Wolf. Like, some people hated it and some people loved it.
I know.
Yeah,
I never.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming at all. Actually,
yeah,
I didn't think that people were going to hate. I loved it. I will talk about why I loved it in a little bit. But I wanted. Oh, who's hello, that? Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, I'm Josh. I'm from Florida.
Hi, Josh from Florida. So, did you call in to ask Christian and Holland a question?
Oh, I just wanted to say first of all, Christian.
Yeah.
Great episode. Like, this is my favorite episode so far. And, like, you did a really good job with the direction and just the mood. And, like, I have applause for you. Because it was just awesome. Like, I really appreciate it.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
It's his first time.
It's my first time. I mean, it's not my first time. It was my first time getting paid money to actually direct something.
That's your first time. Totally.
No, I'm actually, weirdly enough, you probably don't know this, not the caller doesn't know this, Josh, but I was looking at our hosts. I was nominated for an Oscar for a short film I made out of film school, and then it took me 20
years. I didn't know that.
Yeah, out of film school. And it took me 20 years to actually get paid to direct. That's called paying your dues.
You've gone under the radar.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah, I ended up writing.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll show it to you. But Josh, thank you so much. That's so kind of you. And it was a really fun. The thing that's so great about this show is that the crew is incredible and the actors are incredible. So it was actually a really great experience.
And Holland.
Josh.
I watch the show because everybody's awesome, but, like, you just steal the show with your acting and your scenes.
Woo!
And just... No, Holland, I'm not even trying to, like, just make you over,
will you please,
like...
contact my agent?
I'm so serious. Like, Holland, you are amazingly talented. Like, you're up there on the list of, like, actresses. Like, you just can't be beat.
I absolutely
Thank
agree.
You,
and she's beautiful on screen as well. I think that you're the most gorgeous girl on the show.
The most amazing makeup artist. I'll tell you, I do not have the best skin, and I'm telling you, which you can occasionally I play Find the Pimple Game, and Josh, but you can occasionally, just ever so rarely can you find them because they're always there. That's the secret.
Wow.
Phyllis Temple is the most amazing. We got so lucky that she's a feature makeup artist with Fiona Cush, and these two women, Josh, you don't understand the magic they put on our faces every day, at least mine. And so,
of course, Holland. Of course,
it's good.
Holland,
it's good.
Come on, don't be modest,
honey. I call it how it is. I would tell you.
We all know.
I have amazing skin.
You're beautiful on the inside and the out. So
you gotta have that.
Same thing for Kristen. And everybody else. We all
awesome.
You guys are all great.
Josh, thank you so much for calling
in.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for watching.
See you, Josh.
Thanks for calling in, Josh, and call us back next week.
I think he's gone. I think he is gone.
I was going to say, people responded very emotionally to this episode. Like on Twitter, you were saying, like when Twitter blew up, a lot of it was like hashtag feels. Mm. Like major feels happening.
Well, the Stiles and Scott scene, how do you avoid that?
You can't.
Oh my God.
I mean, just the total pathos. Like everyone has a friend that's like you would do anything for. So of course, everyone just saw themselves in that moment. Like, who is that friend for you? That kind of thing.
Yeah. And it was one of the first, I mean, there was Jackson and my breakup, get back together scene, but outside of that scene, because a lot of people had mixed feelings about that scene, this is really the first Teen Wolf scene that there was no controversy behind, and it was two mortals having a connection as mortals. Obviously, Scott's not entirely mortal, but that's the title of our show. But it was, that's, we haven't really had that aside from, I mean, it was the death of, you know, Allison's mother, but it wasn't the two people having that moment.
It's funny, a lot of the times, because of the pace of the show, we don't get to actually enjoy those moments. And I think this was a really, you know, it's one of those things when you're directing it, you're thinking, oh gosh, I hope it's gonna, I'm gonna pull this off. Aww. And then the actors just, they really brought it. And
it's a great
scene. It's, you know, Tyler's like there, we're pouring water on him, it's freezing.
And then there was a few fans standing on the side, like waving and like shaking posters at us.
Wow.
And Christian's like, this is an emotional scene! Please be quiet! And, like, we're in public. Like, we can't, you know. And bless their hearts, they did not know what was going on. And we're just trying to be supportive. But maybe weren't the... It wasn't the best kind of support at the time.
Yeah.
But it was an intense day. Yeah.
And then, you know, Tyler's holding a flare, and the flare mechanism breaks. And so
he's
we're like...
freezing.
You know, I'm like, okay, frame the flare out and just keep on him. And then, you know, and it's like, it was it turned out really great. And
couldn't tell that there were screaming fans changing the mood at all.
Perfect. Yeah. We actually have a couple really great, like, mortal on mortal scenes since season 3 that we've never had before in Teen Wolf. That was the first major one for sure.
I actually called that topic the Brotherhood of Scott and Stiles.
Yay.
You know what? And I really felt like Scott and Stiles, their relationship was dwindling this season. So I was happy to get this scene. And I felt like the fans needed it as much as Scott needed it to know that that relationship was still there. Because
as much as Stiles needed it. Because Stiles has been there backing him up. And I think we've seen, like, a little bit of distance growing there.
Isaac coming in there just a little bit, and he's like, no, buddy, your stomach is the one.
Stay get under the bed. but, yeah, you know, that scene where Scott just, I feel like a lot of people, especially teenagers, that was a great scene for them in general, because a lot of teenagers feel that point in their life where, like, they're hopeless, and it was just a nice reflection for teenagers everywhere, and I'm sure there were lots of tears. I had a lot of people, N. Williams on Twitter tweeted at us saying that she was crying during that scene, so thank you for the tweet. And, yeah, it was a very deep moment and definitely one of my favorite moments on Teen Wolf.
We also, you know, the episode is the theme is obviously quite a controversial one in terms of suicide, and that scene helps sort of state, hey, there's always somebody there for you and there's always hope. And I think the actors really deliver that. So it's a really good message, I think, for young people, because I think sometimes we get wrapped up in everything that's around us, and it's an important thing. So even
just
though
that,
this, yeah.
Taking that line that no one's alone and everyone has someone.
Yeah.
I totally agree, and I think that came across.
When Stiles stepped into the gas lane with them, I was like tilting my head back because I was at the screen with you guys, and I was like, can't cry in front of all these people.
You are welcome that I saved the favorite character on the show. That would be my doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, twice.
Yeah.
I save that guy's ass all the time.
It's like a Wonder Woman move, isn't it? She's like, yeah!
Absolutely. You unplug the chainsaw or the handsaw, and you also save them in the end.
Yeah.
So he definitely owes you.
That kid, I'm telling
you. Lydia's becoming a woman of her own power and very empowered. And
I mean,
it's great.
It's been fun. If everyone listened to Lydia from the first point,
it's like, let's get the out of this hotel.
Then everyone would have been safe right
guys.
Away.
Guys.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. What is your power? What you have all these.
It's
I understand now.
Yes. I think from this episode, we can definitely say it's on the same par as, like, the Supernatural. She's got... It's confirmed. She was the one hearing voices first.
Mm-hmm.
We know all this is...
You're becoming very important to everyone. I mean, they're not actually recognizing it yet. that well, how important you
some
are.
Some people are. I mean, they're definitely saying, you know, I get the Twitter mentions every day. When I wake up, I'm like, oh, okay, got it. It's, you know, Jeff told me a while ago, he's like, it's going to be, you got to hold on for a second, but it's going to come around. And as an actor, you'll see what's happening. And so so now we're starting to see it. And mm-hmm. I can't say it now. We're almost there.
309?
Yeah, 309, you're going to find out a lot. 309. I say that the title of 309 is a great little hint to what to let it potentially be.
Do some research on numbers. More researching numbers.
But yeah, I feel like just the other werewolves. And, I mean, Styles has always recognized you as an important influence in whatever's going on and someone to go to. I referred to it as the Team Human pack because it was like everybody else has their own werewolf pack. And like you and Styles.
Yeah.
They're the smart ones.
Well, Scott is sort of forming his own pack.
Starting to.
Let's just say that.
Yeah, and naturally becoming the alpha he is, which is what we were talking about last episode, the after show. We were just saying, you know, once he finally owns this inner alpha wolf of what he was naturally born with, then he will just naturally become an alpha without killing anyone. That's kind of like what we were predicting.
And he's getting much closer to, like, the full acceptance, I feel like.
Yeah, just accept yourself. That's clearly the message here.
Oh, yeah.
I love all the teenage messages of this show. Because they still, I mean, as an adult, those messages still influence you as an adult. They never go away. It's just like facing them for the first time as a teenager is really traumatic. But as an adult, a lot of them are still there. Yep. So I really, I love this show.
There's an English professor, I forget what state he's in, and he was like, you know, I really didn't expect to like this show, and I do. And he goes, it's so funny. I had two of my students use ephemeral in a paper the other day. And he goes, I asked them after class if they've been watching Teen Wolf, and they said it's their favorite show. He goes, so at least if, you know, they're watching television, I'm glad they're watching at least slightly educational television.
That is hilarious.
We have another caller on the line.
Oh, wow.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
This is Max Carver calling
Max Carver. Oh my God! One of our two new favorite cast members that
our
we
lips
adore.
Are so far apart right now.
Max,
I gotta tell you guys, my phone is gonna die in about 30 seconds. So let's make this quick and nasty.
Okay, we have one really important question to ask you. A fan asked us last week how it is possible that the twins merge their pants.
How we merge our pants?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you a little secret story called Lycra and Spandex. Furthermore, if you're familiar with the Hulk in terms of canon, that guy gets like four times bigger. His pants don't rip. People don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But all you naysayers out there.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't know nothing.
There you go.
miss you, Max.
Are you having fun in New York? They're doing a big...
Having a great time. I wish I could tell you about it, but...
You can't.
We'd have to censor most of it.
Yeah.
I just missed them.
Just kidding.
Hi, Charlie. Hi, Max.
Did you watch the episode last night?
I did. Great job. It was amazing, Christian.
You were in the West Village last night.
You were.
I wasn't in it. Yeah.
Max, what's been your favorite part of joining the Teen Wolf cast this season?
Catering.
We're just talking.
I know that's a joke because I was prefaced on that earlier before the show started. I heard you have a new catering team coming in very soon.
I just added another call from New York. Is that?
Yeah.
This is Charlie.
Hey, Charlie!
Charlie!
Oh, my God. They call together.
It makes sense. You guys just merged, right? Did you merge the calls?
I am in my brother somewhere.
He's calling from your stomach, Charlie.
Did you watch the episode, Charlie?
Of course I did. You didn't see my live tweet?
No,
Christian.
Wait, quick question. So,
for you,
a lot of people are asking about the stomach. This is for Christian.
Yeah,
who is the face supposed to be? Is it supposed to be his brother?
It's supposed to be his brother. Yes. There you go. I could have let Charlie answer that. But Charlie, what did you think? Did you like your performance? I thought it was amazing.
I loved it.
Ah, thank you.
Go on.
I owe all of my credit to the CGI, which was also me. I think that's the only time I've ever taken Max's place.
Yeah,
that was supposed to be Aiden, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
My face coming out of my stomach.
It's his face coming out of his stomach. So it could be. Yeah. He's facing himself.
That's creepy. Charlie, do you normally solve your indigestion with a handsaw?
No, I do not. Although that's, I don't think there's any marketing opportunity.
I guess that's one way.
Yo, hey, my friend, my phone is.
All right, we love
you.
We love you. All right.
Thanks, Max and Charlie, for calling. Can't wait to have you on.
Bye, guys. Bye, guys.
I miss you guys. You need me.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm gone. I can do my behalf.
Wait, who do we have?
This is Charlie. We have Charlie. We have Max and Charlie staying.
Okay.
You have Charlie.
All right.
Bye, Maxwell.
With that, I'll leave.
Thanks for stopping by, Max.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great night, guys.
So, this is a little tidbit. I'm actually supposed to be staying with Charlie right now in New York. So technically, I should be on the phone call with him.
Oh,
there you go.
But flights were a little too expensive, so I didn't go.
You failed me, Holland.
Charlie, I wanted to come.
And now I'm all alone.
I wanted to so bad, but I bought my, as I call it, the white trash dream of buying my hot tub. And so I bought a hot tub. Yeah, you don't know about that.
She couldn't buy a flight ticket, so she bought a hot tub. I don't know, Charlie.
And then it was being delivered Monday, Charlie, and then I was like, oh, but the hot tub's being delivered, and flights are expensive.
Oh, there you go.
That's just so horrible. Oh, yeah. My gosh, the hot tub's being delivered.
Yeah, so that's why it couldn't come, Charlie. This is a really random thing to bring up right now.
Hot tub. All right, Charlie, how did you enjoy doing Motel California? Did you have a good time?
Oh, yeah. I thought, you know, what I thought was cool about it is that it all took place in one place.
Yeah.
So, you know, we shipped out to this motel in Glendale. What was the name of the actual motel?
The Glen Capri.
It is the Glen Capri. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Was that marketing for them?
They were very obliging. They were like, they didn't see, and we told them exactly what the episode was about. And
wow. they're in a ton of movies.
They make a lot of stuff there. The guy who runs it is like, look, I know movies. It's like, it's great. And the motel's a really nice motel, so actually inside. So.
Charlie, I loved your performance.
They're thrilled right now. But it was a really cool episode. Christian was great because he was so specific in terms of what he wanted. I don't know, I just thought the shots were cool. Like that shot pulling back of Isaac going to the freezer in Holland, who was amazing.
Yeah,
everything she did, whether within a fisheye lens or not, was awesome.
Do we end up using the fisheye lens?
Yeah, I use the fisheye lens.
In the
wall,
next room.
When you see the faces in the wood paneling.
Oh my God, I love the freezer. Because it kind of reminds me of a coffin. I think that's the point,
that's
obviously.
The whole point. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a coffin. I was like, wait, hello. No, it's a freezer.
Charlie, you rock. We love you. And look after yourself in New York.
Thanks so much for calling, Charlie.
I'll see you all next week.
All right, cool.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Bye. Thanks for calling in.
I wish I were in L.A.
See you soon.
Me too.
See you soon. Have a great time. Bye.
Later, guys.
Bye.
The boys got an amazing pilot. They're working with Damon Lindelof on the new HBO show.
Wow.
So, Pete Berg is directing. Mm-hmm. So it's very exciting for them.
Wow, congratulations, so, Max and Charlie.
Yeah, we love them. And they're really great guys. And they're great energy on set. And it's really fun.
We've gotten lucky because, you know, it's funny. You hear horror stories of other casts on other shows. And my first show I was a part of was certainly not a horror story, but it was just a very professional set, I would say, in the sense that you didn't really eat lunch together. It was mostly adults. I played one of the kids on the show. And so to come on this show, I think it's once in a lifetime for sure.
We're very lucky.
Yeah. And other people have been great.
It's funny, I would credit it a lot to luck, but also I would credit it really to Jeff Davis because he creates a scenario where people feel empowered and they feel, you know, in for me, it's like, you know, him letting me direct this episode. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's a really great environment to work in. And it's very high stress because we're working on a very low budget and very short on time. But I think the community of the actors and the crew is really great. So we that makes it all worth it.
I don't know how many sets have, and when we say four units, we don't mean four full units, to those of you guys out in the industry that are listening. It's like, hold on, okay, now A, go. Okay, now A is going to stop. Okay, now B, go. Get a shot in. Okay, now C. It's like a wave.
Right.
It's like,
wow.
It's like a shooting wave.
When we were shooting this episode, at one point I was walking from three setups. So I would work with an actor on one thing, we'd shoot it, I'd then go and set up another thing, rehearse it, and I would walk in a triangle at the motel and be like, okay, we got that, all right, move on.
And which I literally really don't think amazing. Any other show has done
no,
that.
And it was actually a really nice way to work because you're never sitting around, you're like...
Constantly moving.
Yeah, and a PA would come up to me and be like, okay, Christian, here, if you could come over here now. Aww. And I'd be like, all right, and I'd be like, okay, let's rehearse this, all right.
It's hilarious, yeah. It's madness. Yeah, it is truly madness. You know, and but we shoot three episodes at a time on top of that. Which is why we have, so it's musical chair, musical shooting, musical chairs, something like that. Some sort of weird analogy in there.
It's been working out well. And I think that your energy as a cast really carries through with everyone we've talked to. And you guys seem to really care about each other and really care about the show. Like, everyone knows so much. And that just, it's really important to us as, like, an audience to see people be as excited as, like, everyone out there.
I think it attributes to partially the success of the show. I think that we got lucky because, I mean, as actors, you go in, you audition, you really, it's luck of the draw what you end up on. It's, you know, I mean, as working actors, you know, people that are established, it's a different story. But, you know, we just got so lucky, and I'll never forget my friends going, MTV, they're doing scripted television? What? And the whole thing was just so new, and people were a little scared, and now we're the lone wolf. Like, I have so many other friends that have gone out for shows that have come and gone on MTV. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as actors, we just got lucky. We just got really lucky that the writing falls into place, and the other actors fell into place, and then the look of the show fell into place. And then we
cut. I think the show, it keeps getting better and better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which is great.
With each
really
season.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, all of the fans have been saying that Teen Wolf is their favorite show on MTV, and I think we all agree here, so thank you guys so much.
What about on television? I mean, MTV is just a portion. It's one of their favorites.
Well, she was just mentioning MTV. Come on. Guys at home, don't forget, you can support AfterBuzz by going to iTunes, YouTube, rating, commenting on our show. You can call our fan line at 424-256-1729. You can join our live chat. You can watch us live at AfterBuzzTV.com. And I want to read some of our comments from our listeners that they left. Haywood says, my thoughts on Scott getting that little burst of alpha power is because not only is he showing leadership and rising to the occasion, but his pack is showing faith in him and his abilities. I would agree with Haywood.
Yeah.
And Wolf's Win says, even the people working behind the scenes of Teen Wolf are handsome and beautiful.
Oh, wow.
It's so
Corey?
True.
Yeah. Really, Corey?
I'll take that compliment.
I think Corey could take that compliment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll take that.
I can attest to that. I'm telling you, they're more in shape than the people on screen. It's unreal.
Jeff's a little bit of a fitness Nazi.
Oh, really?
I mean, he's a little, it's a little.
Can you tell us about this? Yeah, how so?
Okay, so there was a comment saying, they're like, why is Jeff Davis's brain so insane? All I have to say is that Jeff Davis is insane and all those writers are on drugs. And I was like,
he makes us work out all the time.
It's like
if we come in and we're fat, he's like, no, go work out.
And then we can work. I was like, no, it's just protein powder. That's all they're on.
We're on a lot of, we work out a lot.
Water and protein powder.
I was asking Tyler Hoechlin last night, like, what is he, whatever, and he was like, I'm on a break right now, so I'm eating whatever, but it takes him, I guess, 3 weeks to get back in shape.
Oh, yeah.
He says he doesn't do the protein powder. He does like deli meat and almonds. And he loves his almonds.
I've seen him eating protein powder.
He does.
Oh, what
a protein shake.
When he comes in here,
he's you know, he has to be very stringent.
And he does a lot. He does, like, when we say deli meat, we're talking like four packs of it. Like,
wow.
I've seen his fridge in Atlanta, and it's hilarious that he just takes, it's disgusting, takes a pack of meat and just like, you know, I think Taylor Lautner had stories of just carrying around chicken breasts, and he'd be like, just like start pulling out chicken breasts and start eating it. You know, and that's kind of, in a nutshell, how Tyler Hoechlin was with that oh, that hunk of meat was so gross.
I just eat dust. I just eat dust and air. That's all. That's why I'm like.
He told me he drinks some other protein drink called like Isopure or something
Yeah.
A lot of the guys are on Isopure.
I'm gonna have to try it. That's apparently the secret. We're gonna have to get a.
It's so gross.
Really? Yeah. He said drink the green apple. I'm like, what?
The green apple is the most decent one and a fruit punch. But ooh. I mean, I tried it for about a split second. I was like, no, that's not happening.
Yeah. What do you suggest for our diets? If we want to look like Teen Wolf actresses and actors, what
Crystal,
do you suggest?
Crystal eats, and I go off and on, Crystal eats a lot of, she's basically vegan for the most part. And element bars, they're,
I'll have to try it.
And there's a place called Lassen's in Los Feliz, and it's a really great gluten-free little market that has good food. It has
what's it called?
Mock tuna salad. Lassen's. I think it's Lassen's.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna have to go.
Really good place. Yeah, the boys just eating the typical.
Let's do push-ups.
Tyler Posey eats like crap. No. And it drives me. And it drives me insane.
Tacos.
I mean, admittedly, they're probably
wings.
20 years younger than me. And then Tyler Posey will get. He'll get pizza and wings delivered at like 4 in the morning.
He does.
And we're like, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, it's for everyone.
In shape as everybody is on the show, and I'm speaking mostly to the boys, because Crystal eats very healthy. Mm-hmm. The boys, they eat healthily, but not, they kind of don't. It's like, they don't. I mean,
they do. The twins ate really well up until when they were shirtless.
Like three-fourths of the way through.
And then Daniel ate really well. And then once they shot their shirtless scenes, they're suddenly like, rah! They're like, crop service table. They're like this. It's like hilarious.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We're a breeding ground for eating disorders. It's not good. No.
Well,
we're not.
It's a good thing to tell the fans, like, this isn't something we can constantly maintain. Like, when we have these shots, you know, that's when we try to eat super healthy. That's when we're working out hardcore. Just so you guys know at home, like to tell teens who are going through this and want to look like you guys.
I completely endorse
completely.
That.
I mean, and also to the fact that, you know, it's funny. I mean, I know I've done photo shoots where I'm like, I don't think I was that in shape. That's just the angle. Like, there's a lot of movie magic, I think, as well, that, you know, and to not to break down with the boys, because the boys are in very good shape. you know, I think also the camera on a guy, it makes them look more majestic.
More majestic. I fall in love on screen a lot.
Like, they look real. Like, you know, you meet a lot of actors in real life, and they're a lot smaller than you thought they were. And I know this about a lot of people who've played superheroes on television and movies, and they're still in incredible shape. Not to down, but it's that right angle. They've done sit-ups for that one shot right before, and they've, you know, it's so isolated. It's
movie
not
magic.
It's not realistic.
It's real time.
Well, I think, you know, I think you have to have a sort of balance in your life, and I think I wish I had known when I was younger. I think you need to work out. People need to work out. They need to move their body, and they, you know, a lot of people in this country don't get that opportunity or don't get that sort of endorsement or support to do that. And then I think the other thing is you can't eat sugar. Like, you have to cut down on the sugar.
It's a drug.
It's the worst drug there is. And it's the most addictive. And I think that is now completely confirmed. And I think if you cut down on sugar, and that means, you know, sodas, cut them out of your diet, you know, and it'll eat. And so I think as teenagers, I think if you empower yourself to do that, and know that you're doing stuff that's good for your body. And sugar is related to, you know, it's pasta and it's breads and everything. If you cut those down as well, and then you'll be living a very good life.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just a few simple changes.
It's a few simple changes.
That, you know, I really didn't know either growing up.
Yeah,
so it's
I
good.
Didn't either.
I just didn't know. I mean, I lost like 20 pounds since I was younger. It's so weird just by changing my diet a little bit and walking while I'm talking.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh my God, we're on a fitness show.
We are on a fitness show. Back to the episode.
Yes.
Sorry, guys, but I feel like that was really good.
No, I think that's really important because a lot of people look at the show and they're like, oh, their bodies and everything. And I'm sure if I was a 13-year-old that I was, fat 13-year-old kid that I was, watching this show, I would feel completely. But I think you can empower yourself by exercising and cleaning up your diet and taking control of your diet and not eating the crap that you're served in high school or whatever, making your own, you know. So.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But speaking of being majestic on camera, though, we have to talk about Christian being the principal.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We should, because a lot of people probably don't realize that. Thank you, Corey.
We're not going to talk about it for long because it's not a very interesting topic. But an actor didn't show up in Atlanta.
You are kidding
me. Yeah, and Jeff was like, Christian, you've got a SAG card, right? And he's like, you're going to be the principal in 2 hours. I was like, all right. I was like, but you have to promise me he comes back. And so he came back this season, but he doesn't come back anymore, I'm afraid.
That is not true. People die on this show and they come back.
Yeah, well, he's not dead yet, but he should have a spinoff.
We just got 313, by the way.
Yeah.
Ooh. Some interesting little
we got the new second heart of the season.
So. Oh, that's awesome. So you guys know, and we're still in
the dark.
Completely.
I had a moment by that, by the way. I was like, 313. Oh my God, that's right, B. Oh my God, because we've never gotten a 13 before. It was very
This is the first season of 24.
Yeah.
Because you guys are so amazing. They gave you guys 24 episodes. The fans demanded
it. We're so grateful.
Getting back to the episode, I want to talk about two more things before we do our interview with you guys. Can you believe it? We're still going to do that after all this.
You have to talk some more.
Oh, wow, okay.
We have some questions for you guys as people instead of your characters, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay, Gerard is back.
Mm-hmm.
This was, you know, a huge surprise to all the fans and us. We have Milka on YouTube saying that he is the Clint Eastwood of werewolf hunters. He does kind of remind me of Clint Eastwood, I guess.
I love how he's this, like, old-school theatrical actor. He kind of put a new spin on modern-day villains, because you don't see that on a lot of your modern-day teenage shows right now. He has a different shtick about him that most villains don't have. And I think it's interesting.
It's operatic.
Yeah, it's very operatic.
It's great.
Yes.
It's fun.
I like the way he says Deucalion.
Deucalion.
It's perfect.
Yeah. And is he still puking up Mountain Ash, or is this a new Teen Wolf protein drink?
No,
what is this?
He's not healing, but the cancer's not killing him, but he's
slightly falling apart, but he's still there.
He had the bite, but he's rejecting the bite, but he's still alive, so that's what's going on. He's oozing black blood.
The medical mystery of the nursing home.
Okay, so I'm not sure if... What do you think, Sarah? Is he involved in this? Because he says that Deucalion is the one who bit his uncle, Alexander, which we got in the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously knows so much. Like, the Argents in general, they have so much information, and they're so plotting that I feel like Deucalion himself has a larger plan, and I think they're tied together. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're completely separate, but
really?
They can't say anything.
Why did I get a really?
I mean, I think that we got a glimpse of that, the dark druid in the fire. Now,
or did I just get a glimpse of it?
Oh, that is a good point. We don't know.
Perspective.
And we got it in the wall, too.
I don't know.
That was one of the questions. Was I just the one seeing that, or were we all seeing that?
Mm-hmm.
I think you saw it. Just because you said it.
I don't know.
I hadn't thought of that perspective,
but I feel like the script, she never goes through. It all happens. I said this to Jeff. I was like, we never really have her talking about it on the bus.
No,
like,
never.
I just saw this crazy-ass doctorate in the fire. But Jeff's like, it all happened off camera. It all happened that night. You know, that's what they talk about. That's what's fun about the show and how Jeff constructs it is it's like some of those scenes, you just jump them and it doesn't really matter because the audience realizes, oh, that happened off screen.
They're with you, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, Chris Argent is now going to seek revenge. He's kind of been chilling out for a while, but now I think knowing that, you know, Deucalion is the one who bit his uncle, who then committed suicide in the hotel. And one more question. Do you think that this is what cursed the hotel initially, this initial suicide, or no?
I think that, like, who cursed it? I think that the curse was put more on just the supernaturals in general than regular humans, but I think this all goes back to the Argents, and I just feel like they've had these lasting ties for years and years, that there's a bigger plan that we're not seeing, but it was really interesting to me that he came back and was, like, in the room reenacting the werewolf battle, like, seeing the flashbacks, and what brought him back to the scene, what is making him get involved again. I thought it was, like, it's Allison, the fact that he knows she's being pulled in by Scott, but I'm interested to see how he interplays with Allison And if they're both going to attack, because if they're both going to attack the situation from different angles.
He said to Allison on the phone, like, we can tell each other anything. And I want to know, does she know that, you know, Gerard's alive and he's going to see him and whatever? It just doesn't seem like, you know, he's sharing this information. Can you guys say at all whether that initial suicide of Alexander was what put the curse on this hotel for people committing suicides?
That was never, it's kind of a good theory, but that was never really discussed. So there's no real reason.
I had a question, too, about, it's funny how that was the motel we chose, and how does that have to do with the werewolves? You know what I mean? Like, what, the suicides at this motel, and then we have the werewolves that chose that motel.
Well, okay, so that's, let's say...
Team Wolf Secret that I don't even know.
The Dark Druid used the Wolfsbane.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wolfsbane, you got the energy of the hotel, which is clearly an energy which
dark.
Which is a dark energy because 198 people have committed suicide there.
And dark energy and just combines with dark energy
combined
that was
with,
the vehicle to
that's
use
that's the
those.
Vehicle okay. to mm-hmm. make the werewolves and the Wolfsbane cause them to have those hallucinations.
That was a question a lot of people had. So
yeah,
was
well, that's exactly it. That's it. The hallucinations are prompted by the energy in the Wolfsbane.
Well, I'm going to say that the curse was initially happened because that first one. Because it seemed like everything's coming back to the Argents. Like you said, it seems like everything's going back to the Argents. So, and I'm not sure if Gerard... I mean, he has to have something to do with this because otherwise, what's his purpose of being back as a character on the show? So I feel like, you know, he's got a plan or he wouldn't be there. And then there's one more thing I want to talk about. Derek and Miss Blake's sexual healing. Uh-huh. Thank you, Alyssa. Uh-huh. She gave me that little sexual healing comment. A woman's touch.
Yeah,
that's
true.
So,
open wounds, just go, you know, a woman's touch is all you need.
I think we know that Derek's sort of wounded. Physically here and also in his character.
Right.
And a little bit of love in his life is
she's
healing
him.
Yeah. And he's
about time for poor Derek.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, he's had a rough time.
And I liked in this scene where, you know, you see him being the nice guy and being like, you need to stay away from me.
Yeah.
And we get to see the more vulnerable side of him. So he's, you see the sweetness that she can fall for.
Yeah.
And he's happy because he's getting some love, and she's like the aggressive one. I liked it.
And one of my favorite parts is, you know, in Teen Wolf fashion, it's just very serious, you know, the main plot. And he's like, you know, Derek's gone, and it's like,
there's
Derek's fine. Yeah. You know, that's a laugh that like traditionally wouldn't get the laugh.
Exactly.
And Teen Wolf finds ways, you know, because it was so tightly directed, and so the shots were so great, and just the intercuts. I thought that was funny when you don't expect funny, and that's what I love about this show. That, you know, clearly
that's very
I have
unique to Teen Wolf.
No power over it, but the powers that be do it. That's what I love.
I also love that kiss that they do. I was like, you know, kiss and then stop and then kiss again. So it's sort of a half kiss at the beginning, and then and Haley's such a great actress and fun. And she, you know, you have to be team players. But, you know, I don't know if it would be that hard to kiss Tyler Hoechlin.
It would be for me, though.
Like, it would be for me, too, if I
You know our story.
Yeah.
No, we don't know your story.
Oh, we met 2 years before Teen Wolf started, really quick. And we were set up on a blind date by our best friends who dated for 2.5 years. Yeah, and they're like, oh, you got to meet my friend Tyler. So we meet each other, and we're like, oh, yeah, this would never work. And so... he was very strong in his faith, and he had abs back then, too. So I called him Christian Abs. And Christian Abs, I just worked with a girl that also was, same thing, very strong in her faith, also had a lot of abs. So I was like, Christian Abs, meet Christian Abs. And I actually introduced his girlfriend. I dated for several years, and then we worked together on Teen Wolf. So it was very much after the fact. He was the only guy I knew coming into it.
Wow.
And so, you know, our best friends don't date anymore, but you know, Tyler and I are still really, I always feel like there's like a brotherly thing towards
him.
So I, during the scene, I actually had a little heart. It was like watching my brother kiss somebody, and I was like, oh, and I was like, oh God, Tyler's going to kill me. But yeah, I love him though. I love him. And I get the appeal though. Yes. He's a very attractive man. So
if you guys ever do kiss in the future of this thing,
honestly,
I'm going to laugh.
I've never actually told them this. I was like, oh my gosh, I think I would kiss Crystal before I kiss Tyler.
note that, Jeff.
Yeah, I was like, but I mean, if I have to do it, I have to do it.
You know, wait, that breaks me. Something come up to my head. It's like we got a lot of publicity today for the first gay kiss on Teen Wolf, and then I was like, wait a second, we had two lesbian teenager girls kiss
303 Fireflies. Yeah.
Three episodes ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are lesbians not gay? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Right.
It was very interesting to me because I think
the stigma's not right.
The stigma. Then it's like two boys kiss and then it's like a huge stigma. And watching some of the live tweeting during the gay scene was really disturbing. And
really,
it was really upsetting. It was really upsetting.
I can't even believe that.
Yeah, it was like, I was like, really? They're like, we're not watching Teen Wolf anymore. You know, which was really, I don't think it's the majority of the fans, but it was like a lot of people that I was like, wow, that's really interesting.
It's hard because we do live in Los Angeles. I personally live in West Hollywood, and I'm from Texas. Which I think we can all say that it's a red state. I mean, it's overall, it's a certain tone to it. And it is funny to me because I've been in Los Angeles for 7 years, and coming from somebody who came from a very conservative state, I think people are just ignorant. And I don't want to say that in a bad way. It's almost in a selfless way because it's just what you're not around, you don't know.
Yeah.
And once I mean, I live, like I said, I live in West Hollywood. It's such a just afterthought. And that's what I love how Teen Wolf has handled anyone who is gay. It's a non-issue on our show. It's not, being gay isn't the issue because in real life, it's not, guys. Like, exactly. Newsflash. And, you know, it's just, it is hard for us to remember sometimes that we're still a nation going through something.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard for us to see because we're so far on the other side. And that, like I said, I lived in Texas 7 years ago, and there is still a difference. And it's sad to say that there is.
Well, it's interesting because Jeff really talked about this in the writer's room. He talks about it a lot, but he wanted to create a show where it's sort of an idealized version of the world in the sense that racism and sexism and homophobia don't really exist, and we don't deal with those issues in the show because in the context of the show, he wanted to elevate it to a place where those things are not issues anymore, and that I think is a really wonderful thing. It's actually a great place to write.
We're on our way, though. Yeah. Thank you to the Supreme Court ruling, so in Exodus International closing.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Excited about those two things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? Teen Wolf really helps teenagers deal with all their issues. And this is, you know, being gay and coming out of a closet, this is a great TV show to kind of help people understand it more and actually see it. Because I think in those places, I'm from Pennsylvania, it's a very conservative state, you just don't see it, and people don't feel like they are allowed to, you know, demonstrate how they feel in those areas.
I wish I could give that to him in like a little ball. I'm like, oh my gosh, God! Like it's so weird for me to think back, but it's true. Like, you are
through the show by portraying it
exactly.
In a natural setting. Like, yeah, that's how you.
Well, I love.
Yeah, and I think what's great for teenagers because I mean, majority of the teenagers who watch the show are not going to be gay, but they will encounter gay people.
Exactly.
They will work with gay people. They will fall in love with gay people, or they will have brothers and sisters who are gay people. And I think it's a. I have great faith in the youth of America and the youth of the world
100%.
In the sense that they are so much more progressive, and they're so much more in touch with things than my generation was. So it's an exciting, really exciting time.
I agree. And we only have a few minutes left in this show. Oh, you guys have been so amazing.
Oh,
I feel like I didn't even need to talk. Like, you guys, I've just been enjoying
There's
the show.
I was like, yeah,
listening to you guys
talk. Sorry. Did we talk too much? No,
you were amazing. I just want to ask you a few interview questions.
Sure.
I'm always interested in people's childhood and how that influences their career as an adult. So can you guys talk about what contributed to you wanting to be in the industry, something from your childhood?
Let me quickly think. I always sort of knew that I wanted to be in the film industry. I was sort of obsessed with film as a child, and I thought that I wanted to be a production designer, like I'd create the sets and everything. And my father he called up, and you know, I have one of those fathers who was amazing. He called up on some set and got me on the set of Company of Wolves, which was this Neil Jordan movie, which was Little Red Riding Hood, and it was shot at Shepperton Studios.
I'm sensing a theme
and
here.
It was like, yeah, no, it's interesting. Isn't that interesting? And it was this huge forest set and everything. And then I went on the set of Legend, which was the Ridley Scott movie. With his, on the 007 soundstage in Pinewood. And,
I don't even know. Yeah,
no, the cool. Legend is with Tom Cruise, and it's a great movie. It's a very flawed movie. But I then realized, you know, I want to be a director, and then I just sort of, I was lucky. I sort of worked all the time, sort of doing, making little movies, and then I went to film school, and I got nominated for an Oscar, and then I didn't work for 20 years as a director.
It was an incredible ride. I became
a writer, and now Jeff has let me be a director again. So, anyway, so that's my story.
Wow. I have such a roundabout way. I love hearing stories that I've never heard from my, you know, coworkers and friends and bosses, and because it's very cool. But, yeah, me in a nutshell, really quick. In my secret, like, fantasy world, I wanted to be an actor. I never thought it was really possible. I grew up wanting to be an astronaut or a doctor.
Wow.
But I really wanted to be an astronaut. Went to space camp, the whole thing.
Wow.
And, that's another quite difficult dream.
yes, it is, because I did not succeed at it. Because I went to college out here at UCLA and was a molecular biology major, but I took a lot of the engineering classes you would need for astrophysics. And then
she's really Lydia.
Yeah,
guys.
I wish I was. But yeah, I always had a knack for math, and I always had a knack for biology and physiology. But when it came to physics, there was a calculus-based physics class that I could not do for the life of me. And yeah, I mean, everyone else was passing it with flying colors. And I thought, yeah, if I can't, you know, put integrals in my word problems, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. And so I went ahead with pre-med. And then in my junior year, my sophomore year, I started sort of just toying with acting, because I went to an all-girls school my whole life. And in my dad actually is the one to thank, technically, in disguise.
See my dad, too.
There you go. He did it in a way that was not helpful, saying, I want season tickets to the public school for football. You're going to this massive public school. You've never sat in a class with boys. My car was keyed. I ate lunch in the bathroom. It was awful.
Wow.
I hated it. But that school taught me to look outside of my own surroundings for my happiness, and I found a Veda of My Girl acting class. This is a very roundabout story, but this is how I started. And I went to this adult acting class as a 16-year-old kid, and that acting coach, Ken Farmer, out of Texas, said, I think you can do this professionally. I said, what are you talking about? I'm going into science. And he goes, go to college in California. Just go to college in California.
Wow.
and see if you can get involved. And I did short films around in Texas. It was a local agency on there. And actually, my first audition was for Peter Berg for Friday Night's the Movie. And I was 16. I didn't have headshots or anything. Crazy story behind that whole saga. But yeah, so I that's how I kind of got a taste of it. And then when I came out for college, I had done a short film with a friend back in Texas. So it's all around, you know, all full circle. That set me up with my first agency. And that's been my only agency. So yeah, that's how I started, and then I got lucky. I got an HBO show a couple months into it, and that got canceled before we aired. And this is my second show that thankfully has made it to air. And
wow.
Yeah, that's in a nutshell. That's it. So,
congratulations! Yeah, you guys have quite the background. Mm-hmm. Just one more thing before we get into predictions. What is, like, a goal? I mean, you guys, to a lot of fans at home, like, you guys, you are successful right now. You are huge stars to them and all of us. We really appreciate you being here. But what's a goal? It's always nice to hear a goal that successful people have in general.
I would say Tony Robbins has the best quote. He goes, the best thing that you can do are not the big things, but it's the little things that you have to get up at 6 a.m. and do every single day that nobody notices. And it doesn't even feel like anything. If it's just driving to the gym to work out for that hour and go home and have your day start at 9 a.m. where you're showered, your bed is made, and you've worked out and you can center yourself. I think it's those little things every day that all of a sudden you look up after 10 years and you've created something. That's the best advice I have.
Gosh,
that's like hard to. Ooh, that was really good. I was into it.
Yeah,
I mean, I got motivated. When I do those things, I find I'm the most successful. I've also have not done those things, and I'll see myself backslide. So I think those, yeah, for me, that's my.
I don't, you know, I think as a goal for young people, I think, you know, if you obviously have a dream, you just have to go for it. And I think it's working hard. It's not getting caught up in things that distract you from your dream. And I think, because I think a lot of people say, oh, I want to be an actor or I want to be a director or whatever, but they actually don't do the work. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of actors mm-hmm. here who've never trained. They've never done anything. And you need to go to class and you need to really read every script that you can or watch a lot of movies, even that, if that's just watching movies and studying craft and believing in yourself that you can do it.
Yeah, I think believing, and I would say, you know, I could speak from my own experience that I don't know if I'll act forever. I hope I do. But if mm-hmm. I don't, I'll never have to say what if. And right. that is mm-hmm. worth all the chips in the world is mm-hmm. never having to say what if. Because if it doesn't work out, great, you tried. And you will never have to look back because there's a lot of people that do. And mm-hmm. that's the unfortunate right. part.
Yeah.
Now, Holland, I know that you have a leading role in House of Dust that's coming out in 2014. Mm-hmm. Is there another project we can look out to see you in?
I'm just auditioning.
Just auditioning yeah. right now?
We're still working actors, believe it or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Squeeze it in. Squeeze the time in.
I think Kristen Stewart's like, I have no idea what my next job is. I'm like, I think you kind of do, though. I think she was quoted saying that. But I can honestly say I don't know my next job. And that's, you know, the fear of being an actor, which is, like I said, we don't know if we'll, you know, act forever. But this moment in time for Teen Wolf, I'll forever and always be grateful for it.
That's, we're grateful for it because it's great TV. Yeah.
What about you, Christian? Is there another side project or something?
Well, there's
you
a couple of things I'm
on?
Writing. There's a feature that I've written. There's a feature that I wrote that got produced last year called Mariah Mundy and the Midas Box, which is a children's film.
Congratulations.
With Sam Neill and Michael Sheen. Lena Headley. Oh my God.
Lena Headley. Yes. Wow.
Thank you.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Cersei.
Yeah. So she was fantastic. I had to direct the ADR stuff that she did, and I was like, oh my God, I'm a little starstruck. You know, I was like,
beautiful.
Yeah, awesome. She was cool and fun. So that, I don't know when that's going to get released, and I don't know, but it was a big movie, so we'll see what happens. And I'm writing stuff on the side, and yeah. So Jeff and I are talking about a couple of things that we would do in a world where we had more time. So we will do those.
I think they're
at some
a
point.
Really great duo.
Yeah.
We'll see more from them. I think.
No, thank you guys so much for
coming
today and all the inside information. I actually am excited to rewatch the show so I can really listen to everything you guys said. It was just mind-blowing information and really great advice for all the teenagers out there and fans or not fans of the show. So thanks
so
much.
Thank you so much. It was awesome. Really fun.
Let's go ahead and roll into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So I just want to say, there was that part where Ethan was saying to Danny, would you want to be changed because of
his
health issue? I hope you make it through. Like, what is he talking about? Do you think Danny's going to remain human? Is he limited on his human days? Is he going to be a werewolf? What do you think's going on
I got the exact same vibe from that line. And to me, I was like, he's going to bite him. He's going to bite him right now.
Is biting okay? and then there was that part where Miss Blake said to Derek, she suggests making good use of his false death. Like, that kind of creeped me out. Because she was like, don't tell your friends. Like,
yeah.
Why don't you go and make use of this?
Yeah. Also weird. That's not going to work, though.
Yeah, obviously. But where would he go anyway? Like, she wants to obviously do the honeymoon, like, tonight.
They want to hide in the creepy building. I don't know.
I guess so.
But great big master plan is going to come out eventually, I think. We're going to see some ties between Argents. I want to see what happens between Allison and her father, how that plays out, what they...
Who's the Dark Druid? I need a name! Give me a name!
Ask that side of the table.
They won't answer. Anyway, a few more names I wanted to thank. Happy Puppy, Yummy Yummy, Buru, Raven, Evil Twin Law, Derek Johnson, Mr. Awox, 90210 Beauty. Thank you guys all for your comments. And you can find me at Cinematic Escape on Twitter, or you can Bing my blog, Cinematic Escape. Sarah, where can we find you?
Find me here.
She's on AfterBuzz True Blood, and Teen Wolf. And you guys, what can we get your Twitter handle? Or websites where they can find you?
I'm at Holland Roden on Twitter, and Holland Roden is real on Instagram.
I don't have a Twitter account.
Where can we find you?
Okay. Oh God,
can
where
we follow
can find
your
me?
IMDb?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to figure that out.
Fan
I have to.
Mail too.
After Clone Wars, I worked on Clone Wars. I should have had a Twitter account. After
I
that.
Saw that. And, Clone
damn
Wars.
It. I've got. I'll get with the times. I promise you.
I will take his questions and deliver them to him.
Okay. Yes, Holland will do that for me.
And Corey, where can we find you?
You can find me at Corey Trench on Twitter, and also my band Articles_Music. We're playing a show this weekend at Couture 7:30. Kristen is going to be there performing with us.
I'm going to play an instrument.
Wow. She's going to be playing an instrument, so be there. And you can find all the details on our Facebook page, Articles Rock and Roll. So check
it
out.
Nice. See you guys at Couture. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Huh? Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.